Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
Yeah, welcome along to Wednesday Night Rugby. A little bit earlier than normal because it is a big day. Andy Farrell has confirmed his first Ireland squad for the Six Nations. Andy has confirmed that Johnny Sexton is the new Ireland captain. There are five uncapped players in the squad. They are Ronan Kelleher, Max Deegan, Quaylon Doris, Billy Burns and Tom O'Toole, the Ulster prop. The players missing out, perhaps the most surprising, Reese Ruddock not included in that squad, also missing out was Niall Scannell among those players, not in that extended squad, which you can see on screen if you're watching live on one of our social channels. Bronagh Driscoll is on the line from Abu Dhabi. Roy O'Connor of the Irish Independent is in studio. Evening, gentlemen.
Evening.
Good evening. I hope the line holds up.
Hopefully. It seems okay at the moment. So, Johnny Sexton, Ireland captain. Any surprise, Brian?
Not really, to be honest with you. I had kind of heard some whispers that it was more likely to be him named captain for a game during the World Cup. Big honour to him. I think he's changed dramatically as a player and as a character over the course of his career. He's personified within the Ironster setup, and I think there will be plenty of time for James Ryan in years to come to pick up that captain's armband. He's still very new to the international game, and you know, people are giving out that Johnny Sexton, you know, how many games he's going to be able to play, and he's not here for the next World Cup. You don't have to do a 4-year cycle with your captain. You can do it year by year, and do you know what? It gives James Ryan another opportunity to become the proper pack leader. And you know, if there is the transition of some of those senior forwards out and some new guys coming in, well, it's an opportunity for him to stamp his authority, and I think it's a smart move, and I thought it was the obvious choice.
Johnny Sexton, I imagine, would get quite annoyed if we said that this awarding of him the captaincy suggests that we're moving out of that 4-year cycle, because I think he's trying to play down the fact that people think he'd be well gone by then, that maybe he can still be there at 38. But do you feel that giving him the captaincy now, and with James Ryan maybe there to take over in 2021, 2022, that we are looking more in the short term in terms of this year's Six Nations rather than that end goal of getting to a World Cup semi-final?
Yeah, and you have to look at you know, the way Andy Farrell is going to be regarding things. You know, yes, he's got long-term focus, but ultimately he's got to have a short-term focus because he's got to win games and win them soon. And he's come from a very successful team, a team that won 72% of the games under Joe Schmidt, and that is the expectation level of the IRFU and now the public as well. So he can't go in and have wholesale changes for 2 years and have that building phase for the next cycle because he won't be in a job. And he realised that, and that's why, you know, he's getting on board some of his key senior players. He'll hold on to other guys that the general public will be annoyed that are still in the mix because of the experience, because of that leadership, because of the intangibles that you have to understand. You could only understand having been within a rugby environment or within an international team that actually count for a huge amount in tough physical games that are the Six Nations. So I can understand. I think it's a good balanced squad, to be honest with you. And I think there's a nice mix of leadership and youth within it. Of course, there's always going to be one or two shock omissions. You know, you're looking at the forum on Instagram after the posting of the IRFU's squad. You know, the Ulster contingent obviously were going bananas about Sure, Klusky not being included, arguably one of the informed centres in Ireland at the moment. I can understand that. And then Reese Ruddock, who's a shoe-in for Leinster in the number 6 jersey, you know, him getting being omitted completely, you know, you can understand why he'd be hugely disappointed. But on the whole, I think it's a pretty good squad that excites me in the coming 7 or 8 weeks.
Just before we leave Sexton, then, he takes over from Rory Best, who was the master of managing referees. And one of the criticisms of Sexton was, you know, angry Johnny Sexton and his relationship with the officials. I know he hasn't played a huge amount of games, Brian, for Leinster since he got the captaincy there. But like, have you seen a change? Have you seen the maturity there you mentioned at the start when he has been captain, that he approaches games slightly differently now?
Yeah, but I'm not saying he's the finished article as well. I think, you know, if that's in your personality, you know, you're always, sometimes you don't have to scratch too far below the surface to bring it out. And I think it's something that he has to be very aware of, particularly as captain, as being the focal point and being someone to try and sway a referee into a certain way of thinking. I think he's got to be very comfortable or very clear and concise with the way he goes and approaches referees, and to not come across as antagonistic as maybe he's done so in the past. And that's definitely something that I'm sure Andy Farrell will have spoken to him about, and something that he'll have thought about, that will be vital to, you know, picking up where Rory Best left off. Because I think that was one of the real hallmarks of his captaincy, that he was pretty unflappable, irrespective of what sort of decision was thrown at him, good or bad, that he was able to work referees well and get them on side. And I think he had a great relationship with them. And I think in those 50-50 calls, or as you know, a game is swinging one way, or a momentum is going in a particular direction, I think when you have a good relationship with the referee, it definitely helps your side when, you know, when things are going the wrong direction.
Rory, should we now presume that he'll be fit for that opening game against Scotland?
I think so, yeah. No, all the indications have been for a couple of weeks that he will be fit. That. And I mean, although he is 34, he does have a demonstrated capacity to come into games cold and perform. So, Andy Farrell's been working with him for an awful long time. There's a lot of trust there in Johnny Sexton's ability to come in and play well. So I think it's pretty clear cut. And you'd imagine that James Ryan as well will be okay for that first game as well.
And that game time and injuries that seem to dog Sexton, quite often it's in the build-up to games and in the weeks around games. Like, you look at...
It's more with Leinster. Like,
I was just going to say, it's more with Leinster, so in Ireland. Like, he played every Six Nations game last year.
Yeah, no, if you look back through Joe Schmidt's tenure, I mean, there was a couple of games where Paddy Jackson slotted in. I think that was in 2016. By and large, he's been there. You know, even the time when he was playing for Racing, he missed an awful lot of time for Racing. Mm. He didn't miss an awful lot of time for Leinster, despite the kind of long layoff of concussions. And that's where he demonstrated his ability to come in and play cold. I mean, it's a pretty good skill to have. It's a pretty good thing to have in your locker. And he's a figure that people look up to. The players around them, I think it probably maybe gives them Farrell the chance to put in a John Cooney, because he's got such experience beside him. Those other decisions are there. Personally, would have gone for James Ryan. I would have liked a bold call to start off a new regime. But Andy Farrell, as Brian said, he has to hit the ground running. This will be his first game as a head coach against Scotland in 2 weeks' time. And if he beats Scotland and Wales, he gives himself a little bit of breathing space. You know, if he loses one or two of those games at home, given Joe Schmidt's record, I think the pressure will come on quite quickly. And Joe had an awful lot of credit in the bank when he was making big decisions. Andy Farrell doesn't have that right, yet. Outside, I think within the squad, he's very well respected. So I can understand the call, even though it's not the one that I would have preferred him to make.
Rhys Ruddock feels as though he's the big surprise. He was such a favourite under Joe Schmidt that almost seemed to be the backup captain at times. He's played 24 times for Ireland. He started the season well for Leinster. Was this coming?
No, well, if it was, I didn't heard about it. I think he's having a very good season. I think he was one of the few players to emerge from the World Cup with a huge amount of credit. I thought he was really impactful whenever he came on. He's a big carrier. He's the player Leinster always pick when they play against big French teams. He's a powerhouse. He does an awful lot around the pitch as well. He's a leader in Leinster. He's the vice captain. So when Johnny's away, which is the majority of the time these days, Rhys Ruddock steps in and leads, and they all speak really highly of him. And Peter Mahoney is in, and was the vice captain in the previous regime, and possibly if he was in better form would have been a contender for the captaincy. But I don't think he's played that well. He was decent against Racing last weekend, but his carrying game has almost disappeared. He wins a couple of turnovers and is very good around the line out, and is clearly a leadership figure and an inspirational one at that. But I thought Rhys Ruddock was playing better. I wonder, does the fact that they've picked two number eights from Leinster, the two young guys, Deegan and Doris, mean that Cedar Stander is being redeployed towards the number six shirt, or is Deegan being considered as the number six? I wonder, is that what squeezed Rhys Ruddock out? But I was really surprised by that one.
Would that make sense, Brian, having that dynamism of a Doris or Deegan at number eight mean that maybe Andy Farrell did reshuffle his thoughts on CJ Stander's positioning?
Yeah, very, very possibly. I agree with Rory in that I thought Pete has had a pretty mixed season, but I thought he played well against Racing at the weekend. He got through a lot of work. But you're right, he's not the ball carrier that he once was. And I think that's where Ireland have fallen down in the past, where we've just lacked ball carriers. suppose, you know, Tadhg Furlong, you can't just rely on your props. You got to look at back rowers, and Josh van der Vleer, even though he runs good angles, isn't a destructive ball carrier. CJ, yes, does it for us. Even in the second row, James Ryan is good in close quarters, likewise Ian Henderson, but not guys that carry for 5-10 yards in heavy traffic. So we definitely need a bit of dynamism in there, and I wonder, will we get it with the shake-up of that back row, with, you know, the likes of CJ being shifted to six, and maybe seeing, I would imagine, probably Keelan Dorris just before Max Deegan. But we'll have to wait and see. Deegan's in a hot run of form at the moment, and a lot will be told from how they train and whether they get their opportunity. It's a nice game to start with against Scotland. I think if it's an England or a France away from home, I think you've got to think about a different team. But I think having Scotland at home, you might get away with a little bit more than you would with other opposition.
Yeah, it is hard to read into what the 15 will be, obviously, from this, because it's a big squad with 35 players. And as Rory touched on, it is Andy Farrell's first game as a head coach. Stephen Ferris was on earlier talking about, you know, the amount of risks you can take. It is still a Six Nations match. It is huge. You need players who've been there, who've done that. How many risks do you think Andy Farrell can afford to take if you're reshaping that back row, if you're throwing John Cooney in? Away from that then, do you need to go with the tried and tested?
Yeah, I think you do. I think people don't realise the importance of having an element of continuity. Particularly, yes, things didn't go great in the World Cup, but you know, this team is still a very talented outfit that have won an awful lot of games over the course of the last 2 years. So you don't, just because of one disappointing season, you know, cast everyone aside and start afresh. You just can't do that in international rugby. And I think that's why there has to be an integration of the new blood that's coming through and playing well. I think maybe you look at three changes in the team. You know, it's hard to specify where. Maybe one at halfback, maybe one in the back row. And of course, you're going to have a new hooker coming in one way or another, be it Ronan Kelleher or Rob Herring. I think that's a good, starting point with the bones of the same team. And then as other players have more time within the training squad in Cartonhouse or in the new national training facilities, I think they will get more comfortable and you'll be able to integrate them a little bit more. But you just can't have wholesale changes, particularly the place we're at. We're not going back to Ireland in 2000 when we had John Hayes, Ron O'Gara, Peter Stringer, Shane Horgan, Simon Easterby come in because we were at the bottom of the barrel. We're not there. We're still a good team to be reckoned with. We just need a bit of restructuring. We need a bit of freshening.
I think fullback's the other one. Rob Kearney's. There's only two players who started against New Zealand that aren't in the squad, so it's Rob Kearney and Rory Best. One's retired, and one looks like he's been. We've moved on from him. So I think Jordan Larmour and Will Addison will be vying for that. I presume Larmour, given his World Cup performance and the subsequent performance for Leinster. But they're pretty important positions, aren't you? It's not like throwing in a young winger or trying to mix things up in the second row alongside an experienced player. You've got your hooker who's going to be, if that's Ronan Kelleher, on debut after 6 weeks off, that's going to be a big day for him. Do you put Toner in to help him, or do you go with Herring, who's the most experienced hooker in there with 8 caps, which is
that position has been completely transformed over the last 12 months when you were looking at Best, Cronin and Scannell as.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Herring was always very close. I think Herring's biggest problem was that he was at Ulster because he was, Rory Best was captain there as well. And he was automatic pick. So Herring possibly, Herring possibly had the opportunity to move provinces and didn't at one point. And I think if he'd been Connacht hooker, for example, I think he would have been a lot further along the line. I think Dave Heffernan's a surprise one. I don't think many people saw that coming. But it sounds like they regard him very highly inside. I think they're probably going to look for more dynamism off their hooker. I think, Herring is a good carrier, good tackler. Ulster's lineout hasn't been great in recent times, but I think that might be as much down to Ian Henderson's calling. But if you're changing your 2, your 9, and your 15, your 8, and your 15, I mean they're all fairly key positions. But we are at the start of a new era, so you do want to bring in some new blood. And in fairness, he's got those 5 new caps plus 4 development players, which is an interesting one that he's brought in 4 really young guys who are going to be probably coming on stream before 2023 in Ryan Baird, Robert Balakoon,
Harry Byrne and Will Connors.
Yes, thanks for helping me out there because I ran out of steam.
So what's the plan with them? They'll just come into training camp for a couple of days?
It's a formal way of getting them into train. I'm sure Leinster won't be too happy to lose them in Pro 14 weeks, but I guess they've got Rhys Ruddock now and Sean Cronin. But I think it is a good way of getting them in. And I think they are players who will play a role in this World Cup cycle.
Before we leave the situation with the starting hooker, Brian, like what Rory touched on there, that Andy Farrell will want dynamism from his number two. That's a difficult balance, I guess, in that first game where you want dynamism, but also if you have inexperienced players, you just need the set piece to work. You just need the line out to work, that they get the basics right, and getting that balance of what they can contribute around the pitch with just doing their job. No, I think we've temporarily lost Brian there. We'll come back to that. Does that influence the selection in terms of...
Oh yeah, that's key, because if they don't get good ball, they're going to be in real trouble. So, I mean, you know, what's the point in having all these changes if they've no platform to play on? So it will be certainly part of the equation. But, I mean, you do have a 6'10" second row who's bounced back from his World Cup with disappointment and is going very, very well, an experienced line-out caller, a player with a point to prove, who I think is going to be certainly in the mix. And I think no matter, you know, I think Ian Henderson's had a poor World Cup and probably hasn't hit the height since he's come back. And I have a feeling Devon Toner could be, you know, there could be the ultimate redemption story for him, that he comes back in and starts in that Six Nations. And that allows Herring or Kelleher or whoever they choose to have a real target to aim for, an experienced, calm voice in there. So, and it does help. And, you know, but if you pick an inexperienced eight, do you then allow yourself to pick an inexperienced nine, or do you go with the most experienced nine Ireland have ever, you know, one of the most experienced nines Ireland have ever had? These are all decisions that Andy Farrell will be toying with over the next couple of weeks.
The two players who've probably had a bit of a fall from grace then from the World Cup are Niall Scannell and also Jack Carthy, who half an hour in against Japan we're thinking this guy's the future. Now he's not in the squad. Brian, he obviously had a bit of a dip in form when he came back, and there was a few injuries there as well. From not to be included in this 35-man squad, very much it seems behind Ross Byrne and also Billy Burns from Ulster, who comes into the squad for the first time. Do you see any real reason why Carthy's not there?
Why Jack Carthy isn't there? Is that sorry? You just jumped on me for a second.
Yeah. Carthy's in the squad.
I'm not surprised with it. You know, he's struggled for form with Connacht. Fitzgerald has been getting in ahead of him in certain games. There's, you know, as soon as there's uncertainty as to whether you're the number one, out half in your province, you know, of course there's going to be question marks as to whether you warrant, you know, selection in the national team, you know, irrespective of having been in recent times. You have to remember as well that initially he wasn't meant to be selected for that World Cup, only was so because Joey Carberry picked up that injury. So I'm not surprised to see him out. I think Billy Burns is definitely one of the top three form out halves and has been picked as such. And I suppose that's why I could understand people having an issue with, you know, others not being selected, particularly the likes of Stuart McCluskey, because he has shown that form, and it doesn't seem as though players in the centre position are potentially being picked on form. But I'm not surprised to see Carthy not selected. I think he did an okay World Cup. It wasn't great. It wasn't terrible. The form he showed before that wasn't carried through the World Cup, and he's a bit of the collateral damage from that, and will have to build his way back up to getting back into the international reckoning.
Billy Burns, 25 now, a former England underage international, and a player I think people are probably just really getting to know over the last few months, maybe because they've been watching John Cooney a bit more as well. From what you've seen of him, Brian, is he a player who looks ready for international rugby?
I'm not sure about that quite, but I tell you what, I'm more impressed with Billy the more I watch of him. From a backline running point of view, he's not afraid of taking a couple of steps onto the ball, of attacking the ball, and as a result, he sits down defenders on the inside. He probably doesn't take it to the line exactly like Johnny Sexton does, but there's time for him to develop that in his game. He's only become a starter with really in club rugby over the course of the last 2 years since he's moved to Ulster. He was in and out of Gloucester. So I think he's developed his game. The fact that he's been playing with Cooney and he's been taking so much of the focus from him, I think he's facilitated the other players around him to do very well. That's why you're seeing people giving out about Stuart McCluskey not being in. That's why Will Addison is in the squad. That's why Jacob Stockdale is in the squad, because he's been facilitating them to play their best rugby again. And I think he's controlled games well. Is he going to get into the 23? I'm not entirely sure right away, but you know, there's every chance he's going to pick up a cap in the Six Nations, and I feel as though he certainly warrants the scope of being in that training squad, and you know, potentially could be a decent international.
Ross Byrne, very much number two.
I think so. Yeah, I think I have a feeling that we're going to see Ireland kind of, if not mimic the Leinster playbook, certainly play, you know, in a reasonably closely aligned game to what Leinster are doing. And I think Ross Byrne just fits in very well there as Johnny Sexton's deputy if anything happens to him. He's having a really, really good season. I mean, Leinster have barely missed a beat, despite the fact they're now missing, you know, they've been missing the now Ireland captain for a good while. I don't think he was particularly popular in the previous regime because of his decision to stay with Leinster and not move provinces. I think that maybe fell a little bit out of favour there and didn't get maybe the recognition he deserved. You know, got pitched in for that Twickenham game and got run over, but like, you know, the pack in front of him was completely rolled over that day. It was a pretty tough day to make your first start. I think he deserves another chance, and I think he is probably a little bit ahead of Burns for the reasons that Brian outlined there.
That back three then, and we'll talk a lot more about this, I'm sure, over the next couple of weeks, and the potential selection headache that Andy Farrell is going to have, Brian, particularly on the wings, picking two from Conway, Stockdale, Earls right now seems an incredibly tough task.
Yeah, it does. And someone's going to be very disappointed. You could pick two of the three and be very happy, but also ultimately be disappointed there isn't a third wing position, because I think the three players are in good form. Arguably the two in better form are Stockdale and Conway. But yet again, I always liked Keith Earls in the team when I was playing myself, and you know, in the last 5 years since I've retired, I've enjoyed watching him because I know what attacking threat he possesses. He, you know, was it 18 months ago he was Ireland Player of the Year. He was in outstanding form, and I think it's dropped off a small bit, but he's an out and out finisher, and he causes stress for defences, one-on-one in particular. So I fear for Andrew Conway that maybe he's still going to be a 23 man, but there'll be lots of opportunities for them over the course of the 7 weeks of the Six Nations, with injuries and chances of playing different combinations. So I think it's a position of strength that we find ourselves in at the moment, having guys coming into really good form in advance of the Six Nations.
We should talk about the Heineken Champions Cup. It is the final round of pool fixtures this coming weekend. We'll have live an exclusive commentary of Benetton against Leinster on Saturday, and then we'll be at Thomond Park for Munster against Ospreys on Sunday. Brian, Munster, many, many permutations have to go in their favour, including get a bonus point win against Ospreys, which they should do, but a lot more things need to go in their favour to have any chance of qualifying for the knockout stage after the defeat by Racing. And a lot of question marks been asked about the progress Munster have made over the last year. Do you look at it as a group of players who've just been hamstrung by injuries to key players, or are there also maybe some question marks about the game plan and whether they're getting the best out of themselves?
Well, there's two things. I think there's an evolution of their game plan. I think you've got to buy Stephen Larkham time. I've seen real improvement.
Now we just seem to have lost Brian again there.
They're getting their shape into great positions at times, but just pulling the trigger on the wrong thing. So I think that'll be an evolution of a year. I think anytime you lose a player like Joey Carberry, it's going to inhibit you in some way, albeit JJ Hanrahan has stepped in and played quite well. But I think you have to take a little bit of a look at the game as a whole. After 66 minutes, they were still in the lead. They were still a point ahead, you know, with a quarter of an hour to go. And yes, you managed to get a bonus point. But they're not a million miles away. There's still a gulf between the top four in Europe and the rest of the league. And I think Toulouse, Exeter, Racing, Leinster and Saracens, there's five. I think that there's a different caliber of player in that group, and Munster sit in the second tranche. And until they get more players and they get players with more experience, I think they'll remain there irrespective of what happens with their coaching. But they're making the right progression, but I think they're still a step away from actually competing for the title. They've done well to get to semi-finals rather than being unlucky in semi-finals in recent years. And I think that's probably where their ceiling is at the minute, looking at the quality of the players in their squad.
Yeah, I think on that, like you look at the Ireland squad and there's only one Munster tight five player in the whole thing. I mean, that's a pretty sad reflection. You know, in Brian's time, it would have been the driving force of the Ireland pack, and now you've got Dave Kilcoyne there in his own. And that's a reflection of their form, and Andy Farrell's made that call. I think the focus now for Johan van Graan, regardless of what happens this weekend, he might get the bonus and get out there, but I think he needs to start, you know, fast-tracking Finian Wycherley, Jack O'Sullivan, Craig Casey, Shane Daly, Keenan Knox. They have got some good young players. I don't think they have as many as Leinster, but they have got players there so that when they come to the business end of the season, those lads are actually part of the 23, because what he brought off the bench last weekend just wasn't strong enough.
It must be incredibly frustrating, though, for the senior players, for Murray, for O'Mahony, who, and Keith Earls was talking about this week, they don't want to live in the past and the successes that arrived before they came on the scene. But every year we seem to be talking about, now it's Stephen Larkin, we need to give him a bit of time. Every year we seem to need to give somebody a little bit of time before it clicks.
And that's why I would, you know, be very quick to kind of defend, you know, not defend Johan van Graan, but saying, like, there is people talking about Johan van Graan and, you know, should they replace him and that sort of thing. I mean, the last thing Munster need at this stage is another coaching change. They need to continue on this direction for a period of time and give it some time. Bring through those young players, bring in their two Springboks next year. I mean, if you put those two players in that team last Sunday, they could arguably win that game because it was so tight, as Brian referenced, towards the end of the game. So I think, yeah, like, you can't bring in Larkham and Rowntree in a World Cup year with all these players away and then they come back midway through the season and expect it all to click right away. They mismanaged elements of their pool, you know, the drop goal, the away bonus point against Saracens. They should be in a stronger position going into this weekend. But it was a tough pool in the first place. I think once Jones and Flannery left so late in the season last year ahead of the World Cup, this always looked like a tricky year. You know, they can call this one transition, I think, and come back stronger next year, but they can still get to a Pro 14 final and give themselves a good draw next year.
Have you been able to see signs already of Stephen Larkham's influence, Brian?
Yeah, I have. I think there's been plays that we haven't seen before, and I agree. I think the skill set of the tight five in Munster and the physicality that they're bringing in the big crunch European games isn't at the level it needs to be at. I think if you look at that phase of play, you know, just when they're a couple of points ahead, they threw three passes on the ground against Racing in quick succession, and that completely takes the wind out of any team sail or momentum. And I do think they need to work on their skills over the course of the next year if they want to play the game that Stephen Larkham has earmarked them to play. They have it in the back, so you look at the quality of the passing, I think that's improved. So I do feel as though they're getting closer, but it is, you know, the World Cup years are strange beasts where the team has only had an opportunity to come back together really in November, December. We're in the second week of January. So there's still a huge amount of learning going on, and they're trying to learn on the hoof whilst trying to compete on two fronts. So I do feel as though we'll get a better sense of things next year, and people will be losing patience with it. But that's the reality. You can't fix things very quickly when you don't have, well, certainly when you're dealing with the players that we're dealing with. It's not the crop of the noughties, and people need to get over that. This is not the same Munster team. So they're doing pretty well with what they have, but that's actually where they're at. That's the level they're at, and they're getting their just rewards for that. Semi-finals is really where I see them at being at the moment.
Did you ever get on BT Sport that correct camera angle for Teddy Thomas's try?
No. It's the French directors, you know, there's no doubt there's something goes on where, you know, they've got 24 cameras, you know, in a stadium like that. And I don't know whether they have a quick look beforehand. It's very frustrating because it looks very bad on you as the broadcaster that you're not coming up with the angles. But when it's a French production, but sure, they shoot to the audience. There was in the Clermont Ulster game, they shot to two guys dressed in fancy outfits during the middle of the game for 5 or 6 seconds while play's going on. So they're alone to themselves, and it is very frustrating. I think benefit of the doubt, you still give the try. I think he was onside. I would have loved to have seen whether the ball was touchdown on any part of the dead ball line, but I guess we'll never know. Incredible touchdown and a try worthy of outstanding.
Yeah, we need a whistleblower in French TV that will eventually emerge with this. Not that it's much good now. Brian, we'll let you go. Back playing golf, are you?
No. Just carrying Shane Lowry's clubs and cleaning them for him.
There's worse jobs, isn't there?
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff, Brian. Enjoy.
Good See you, bye.
Rory, just to wrap up then, this weekend, obviously Leinster are through. You'd expect them to get the job done, get that home quarterfinal. Connacht are out. For Ulster, in a way, it feels like a typical Ulster season in that they've been so impressive, yet the likelihood is now they're going to end up with a quarterfinal away against Toulouse.
That's okay, isn't it? I mean, like, Ulster are in the pool, Clermont. Clermont are one of the best teams in Europe. Mm. I think getting out of that pool in the way they have, I know Bath and Harlequins were not that good, but I think that's a pretty good result. And given the way they played away from home against Leinster last year, you give them a pretty good shot. Even the way they played against Clermont away last weekend. They're an improving team, they're a good team. They have a few lads now who won't be too happy about their Ireland exclusions, who might have a bit of a point to prove when that eventually rolls around. They just need to get the job done on the weekend.
Lots of texts in. How's Ruddock out? Also, Sexton has improved with his captaincy in the last year. He won't finish most games, so others will get a chance to captain the team. Stuart Barnes won't be happy to see Sanders still in the squad. I don't think he was saying that CJ Sanders shouldn't even be in the squad.
I didn't hear what he said. But
he said he shouldn't be starting.
I would agree with that. I think maybe as an impact sub he has a role, but I just think he's a bit of a one-dimensional carrier at times, and that maybe needs to be coached out of him a bit. But he just loves running into brick walls. He generally wins the collisions, but you know it doesn't really keep the play going.
The only European contender in Ireland is Leinster. It's a money game and the old days of glory are over, says John in Limerick. It's a sad note to leave it. Rory, thank you.
Cheers,
if you want to listen back to that, it'll be up on offtheball.com or check out Goal Out.
Rugby on Off The Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.